Lord, again we come to you, and we bow down to you in prayer. And we come to you with all of the troubles and stresses of this past week, yesterday, today, whatever those may be. Help us to bring it all back to you, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you and hear the message that you have for us here today. Amen. Psalm 104, verses 1 to 6, says, I will praise the Lord. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are dressed in glory and majesty. You wrap yourself in light as it were a robe. You spread the heavens out like a tent. You build your palace high in the heavens. You make the clouds serve as your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds serve as your messengers. You make flashes of lightning serve you. You place the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the oceans like a blanket. The waters covered the mountains.
How great indeed is our God, and he is worthy of all of our praise. I'm going to ask our ushers now to come forward and take up our tithes and offerings, which is our act of praise and worship too, as we return to God a portion of all of his blessing that he's showered out on us. So can I have the ushers come forward, please? Father God, we give you thanks and praise. You shower your blessings upon us each and every day of our lives. We ask you now to receive from us these, our tithes and our offerings, Lord, and we ask you to multiply them and bless them, and Lord, and give us diligent minds to use them prudently for your kingdom work here in Newmarket and beyond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Liam. The scripture tells us to train up a child when he's young. So here we've got our junior ushers already working in the Lord's house.
Good morning. Are you any different?
No.
You haven't changed?
No.
Has anyone here changed in the last week or so? Did you grow a little bit? Did you grow a little? Did you have a birthday? No.
I'm just hungry.
Oh, you're just fine.
No.
Okay.
No,
four. I think you're all... Stop. You look a little different than last time I saw you. You lost a tooth. Yeah. And somebody here needs a haircut because it's getting out of control. Wow. I wasn't talking about your beard. We all change. Yeah, we do. We grow up, we get older. I'm looking older. Here's a question, though. Do you change for the better or for the worse? Because there's two ways to go in life, right? You could change and get kind of worse. You could get meaner and nastier and crankier and like that. Or, yeah, exactly. You could be happier. Yeah, I'm more joyful. How do you get to be one and not the other? What makes you kind of cranky and miserable and no fun to be? You know those people? Do you know what I'm talking about? Don't mention any names. It's not your parents. What is it that makes you sad or angry or... What makes you sad? What makes you angry? What makes you... What makes you sad? Nothing. Awesome. That's the way it should be. What makes you sad?
Nothing.
Well, things that make me sad and angry are when things don't go my way. I wanted this to happen. I wanted my guitar to be in tune this morning. It wasn't in tune. It was the last minute. It's like, oh, so frustrating. Like, I wanted something and it didn't happen my way. And then you get frustrated, you get angry, and then sometimes you're grumpy towards other people. What's the alternative to that? What way should things happen? That's a hard question. Who? Who's in charge of the world? That guy, the guy upstairs. We talked about him, the guy on the roof with the long beard. God, yeah. God has put the world in place. God controls the world. Everything happens in the world happens because God wants it to happen that way. You got some choice in the matter. But there's two ways to look at the world. You can look at the world and say, I want it to be this way. Or you look at the world and say, hey, what does God want the world to be like? And can I help make the world that way? And that's the way you should change in life. You're going to grow up, you're going to get old. But I hope as you grow up, you start looking at the world through God's eyes and saying, how can I change to be more like the person God wants me to be? And that doesn't mean taller and bigger and stronger or smarter or whatever. What does it mean? What does God want you to be? One word. What does God want you to be?
Me?
Sure. He wants you to be you, yeah, but what does he want you to be like? Come on. You're a tough audience this morning. Well, say it. What does God want you to do? Nice. Yeah, be kind to people. What else does God want you to do?
Be nice.
Okay, we got that one. You're going to be nice. Be more specific. What does God want you to do? Ethan. What does God, one thing, what does God want you to do? Well, God wants you to talk to him, guys. Believe it or not, God likes to hear your voice. Get up in the morning and say, oh wow, look at the morning, God. What do you got in store for me today? It's called praying. You can try it. It's pretty cool. And then if you listen really hard, sometimes you hear it. It's like a voice. Ethan. Like that. And then you know it's God talking to you. It happens. Let's pray right now, okay? You're going to close your eyes and talk to God. Dear God, thanks so much that you love us. Thanks so much that you want to change us for the better. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to grow in your ways. Help us to be nice. Amen. Thanks, God.
Let us pray. Let us once again in this time and this space be fully present with the Lord. Let us again turn our minds back to him, take our eyes off of ourselves, on our concerns and issues, and turn our hearts and minds towards our Heavenly Father. So, Father, we are gathered here again as your children, gathered in fellowship, gathered in unity of spirit, and we come before you and we lift up our hearts and our prayers to you. Father, thank you for this glorious day, for the beautiful sunshine, for the clear blue sky. Lord, thank you for this new day, for your mercies are new every morning. And if we'd only wake up, as John said, and wake up and greet you first, and walk with you throughout the day, perhaps our days would go a little easier. Lord, forgive us for forgetting you, for not walking with you, for not inviting you to be in our lives. But Lord, thank you that you are a God who comes alongside, who walks with us, talks with us, leads us and guides us each and every day of our lives. Thank you. Father God, we have many here who are struggling. Struggling with their faith, struggling in their homes, in their marriages. And Lord, I just pray for a sweet spirit of gentleness, of peace and love, respect, to descend on each of our homes. Lord, draw husband and wife back to sweet relationship with each other. Draw them into forgiveness, repentance and forgiveness. May our language and our conversations in our homes be sweetened with words of love, words of care. And Lord, may parents be gentle with their children, raising them up in the fear of the Lord, teaching them the stories of the Bible, drawing them closer to you. Lord, may our homes and our families be a witness to our community where so many families are broken and so many children grow up in single-parent homes. Lord, may our families be a witness. May our families just shed the light of your love into our communities, into our schools, into our workplaces. Lord, we pray for those who are sick in our congregation. We pray for those who cannot come out any longer through ill health and instability. Lord, we do not forget them. We ask you to bless them. And Lord, may we be remembering them with a visit or a phone call throughout the week. And now each one of you, you have something to say to the Lord this morning. You have something to give him thanks and praise for. And you have something that's heavy on your heart. Take the next few moments in the quietness and stillness of this place to meet with your God one on one. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you called Father, and you call us your children. Father, we have come to you today as children to a Father, a loving Father. You have heard the prayers of our hearts. Lord, you know the ache and the anxiety in our lives. Lord, hear our prayers. Grant us peace in our hearts, the peace that passes all understanding. For we ask it in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Saviour. Amen. Indeed, isn't that what we would all desire? A daily closer walk with the Lord. We've been studying through the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus in the first century, and we have discovered that this was a new fledgling church growing up in the midst of a very pagan, immoral culture, and we noted that nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. The world is still pagan, it's still immoral. And here we are, the few gathered, the disciples of Jesus, trying to grow in our faith amidst a pagan and immoral culture. In the first three chapters, Paul laid out some doctrines of the church, doctrines of our Christian faith. And in chapters 4 to 6, he outlines some of the ways in which we can live it out. And in those journeys, this journey through Ephesus, we've talked about having, instead of having New Year's resolutions, having New Day resolutions, because God's mercies are new every day. We looked at the way the story of the shepherds who, on their way back, they went back a different way. And we cued on that idea of once we've had an encounter with Jesus, we must go back a different way. We can't go back to our old path. Last week we discovered Paul saying this idea, inviting us to put off the old self. Put off the old self and put on a new self. Put on a new mantle, if you like, as we walk with Jesus. And now we arrive at chapter 5 and we hear an outstanding statement, almost outrageous statement from Paul. So we're going to be reading Ephesians 5, 1 to 20. Lord, bless the reading of your word this morning. Bless it to our hearts and our minds and to our lives. Ephesians 5. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word to us this morning. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly beloved children. That's quite a remarkable invitation, isn't it? An invitation to us as his children to imitate him. We've been called a lot of things, called to do a lot of things in Scripture. We're called to be the salt, we're called to be the light, we're called to reflect God's love to the world. But this is amazing. Be imitators of God. God is love. And the one thing we can do for our world, for our homes, for our families, for each other, is imitate God by expressions of love and care for each other. Even when we wrong each other, or we feel wronged, expressions of love and forgiveness are imitations of God. We call on to live a life of love, just as Christ loved us. Three times the word love there. Dearly loved children, live a life of love, just as Christ loved us. Love, love, love. That's the imitation of God. There's a rising call to holiness throughout this letter. From 4:1 it says, live a life worthy of the calling. 4:2 says, be completely humble and patient, bearing with one another. 4:15, speaking the truth in love, growing up into Christ, not living like the Gentiles, not living like the pagan world around us. 4:22 and 24, to put off the old self, put on a new self. This gradual invitation out of the pagan world, the pagan way, and into a life of righteousness and holiness. And in 4:32, being kind and compassionate. We can't miss it. We can't miss the call here to a new life, to imitate God, to take that bold step, to stand up and be the imitation of God in this world. Anybody got this all worked out yet? Anybody? Anybody feel they're even close? No, we're all struggling with it, aren't we? It seems like an almost unattainable goal, isn't it? But it's there, isn't it? We know it. That gentle call, that gentle invitation to leave the past behind and enter a new life. And we're in good company when we say we haven't attained this, we can't reach that, because even Paul himself, the apostle who wrote half the New Testament, he says in Philippians, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect. So here's an imperfect man calling imperfect men and women to perfection, or at least to strive for it. He says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, he says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So we find the will of God when we're seeking the will of God. We find ourselves in God's will when we're seeking to live like Him, to be imitators of God, to be spreading His love amongst ourselves, in our homes, in our job places, in our community, where that expression that we have in response to a comment or a statement is always sweetened with words of love. So this call to be imitators of God may seem unattainable, but nonetheless, there's the invitation. And Paul says, press on. Press on. Days you will fail, but press on. Press on. He gives us some examples of what the pagan world is like, and by inference, what our world should be like in our life. He talks about there should be no hint of sexual immorality, any kind of impurity. There should be no greed. Why? Because these are improper for God's people. There should be no obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking. They're out of place. They're out of place. But thanksgiving, that's what should be in place. For he warns us, he says, for you can be sure no immoral, impure, or greedy person has any inheritance in the kingdom. There's that contrast. The old way, the pagan way, the way of the world, which we were once part of. Many of us have memories of going back to a time when we lived like the world and thought that was okay. But the light has come into our lives and we're invited now to this new path. Put off the old, put on the new. For there is no inheritance in the kingdom in walking the old way. So Paul is providing us with these signposts that would indicate if we're living in the pagan world or if we're living in the eternal kingdom. There should be no hints of immorality, no impurity, no greed. No immoral or greedy person has the inheritance. Paul's encouragement again is to look back to our past lives, and he says, you were once in darkness, but you've put on the new self, and now you are the light of the Lord to the world. We have the eternal light of salvation through Christ shining out from us, so we should walk like that. We should talk like that. Our words and our manner and our way should reflect the light of Christ that is in us. That is what will attract people, not to us, not to this church, but it will attract people to Christ. They will want to know what's different about you. You always seem to have that light glowing from you. We have one in our fellowship who has actually had that experience of a street ministry and having a street person come up and say to them, there's a light around you. There's a light around you. What is it? And that opened up the door for spreading the gospel, introducing someone to God, introducing someone to salvation through Christ alone. And that's what we should aspire to. Living in such a way that the light of Christ just shines from us, that people say, I need to talk to you. I need to find out what's going on in your life, because what you've got, I want. In that text there, we had Paul writes this quote. No one knows quite where this quote comes from, whether it was something that Paul made up, because it's certainly not an Old Testament quote. Was it something from the local poetry? Was it just a saying? He says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Maybe that was a mantra of the early church. No one really knows where that comes from. But Paul says, that's why it said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. There's a challenge and a problem in the church, in the body of Christ, of sleepiness, of falling into a routine, of a pattern of living out your faith, practice of worship even, where it just falls into a routine. And Paul's giving us a shake by the lapels, and he's saying, wake up, O sleeper, wake up. So we're being called to wake up to the reality of the world that we're in, and to wake up to be living as children of the light. In the midst of everything that's going on around us and the horrific news that we hear of and see of, we should not be the despondent ones. We should not even be the angry ones. We should be the ones who are completely at peace, because God is totally in control. There's nothing going on that He's not in control of. And so that's how we can be at peace and let the light shine out from us. And then he says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Like I said, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Evil people roam the world, corrupt governments all over the place, corruption even in our own culture, in our own governments at times. The days are evil. But we make the most of every opportunity. When that discussion comes up, caution yourself about your words and your response. Is your response loving? Is it caring? Does it shine out the light of Christ? Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is for you. And God has a purpose for each one of you. Each one of us has a particular calling, a particular way in our school, in our place of work, wherever it is. We are the light of Christ. We may be the only light of Christ in that place. And we've got to let it shine. We've got to remember who we are. Children of God. Heirs to the eternal kingdom. Secured and sealed, sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit. We are the holy ones. We are the bringers of the message of joy and peace on earth. And we need to begin to practice that wherever we are. Remembering who we are. There's a story of the Duke of Windsor, and many of you will remember him as the uncrowned King Edward VIII. He abdicated to marry Wallis Simpson back in the 30s, I think, 37, 38. And there are interviews that he took that were taken of him way back. You know, you see the grainy black and white footage of people of that time. And he was being interviewed, and he's being asked about his boyhood, so as the Prince of Wales. And he said, my father, King George V, was a strict disciplinarian. Sometimes when I'd done something wrong, he would admonish me, saying, my dear boy, I have the accent, my dear boy, you must always remember who you are. And of course, this is the king speaking to the heir. My dear boy, remember who you are. And this is what God is saying to us today. My dear boy, my dear girl, remember who you are. You are my child. You are a prince and a princess in the kingdom. Talk like that. Walk like that. behave like that. Let your kingdom status shine out from you as the love of God shines out from you to the world around you as you imitate God on this planet. It's a scary notion, but that's what the call is. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, it's a stunning thing to be told to be an imitator of God and all of that embraces. Lord, we have your spirit within us. Lord, we have the joy of your salvation within us. Lord, give us the courage and the wisdom, the fortitude to let your light shine out from us to the world around us. Lord, forgive us for the times when we have been less than princes and princesses of the kingdom, when our words and our actions have been less than godly. Lord, anoint each one of us. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on each one of us, that we will rise up to this challenge to let the light of Christ shine out from us, that we will truly be imitators of God on earth. Hear our prayer, Lord, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Peace be with you. May God's peace descend on you and your homes and your families. And as you leave this place today, go carrying the light of Christ, the light of God, into your community. Go in peace. Amen. We do have coffee downstairs, so come on down and join us.